This is the second of three reels. I'm talking to Wilbur Jewell in Central Alaska. This is August of 1973. Well, I was asking you about Bob Bartlett. You knew him then when he was just a kid in Fairbanks. Did he live in Chattanooga?
Oh, yeah. We went to school together.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
How about his wife, Vidy? Did you go to school with her?
She went to school together. She was there going to school, too.
In Chattanooga?
No.
Or in Fairbanks?
Fairbanks. But I knew in Chattanooga, I was hauling water. I used to have to haul water. And I had one of these four-cylinder pumps, you know, hand go like this. Mm-hmm. And I had to pump straight up about 60 feet. Mm-hmm. And so Vida's folks was mining on 10 below. And this was on 9, so I'd go up to 9, or I'd go up, and she'd come and help me load the water tank. You get on one side of the pump, and me on the other. Boy, we'd make her go like the dickens then.
What was Vidy's maiden name? What was her name before she married Bob Bartlett?
Gustad.
Gustad, yeah. G-U-S-T-A-D. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you just spent that one season working for Ed Bartlett. Did you ever work for him again?
No. 1 year was enough for me.
That was your 1 year at mining?
No, he was a regular slave driver.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to university at all? Didn't you go to university a year or so? Or was
no.
it Walter?
No.
Didn't Walter go with one
no.
of the Jewel boys? I thought it was at the university.
No, neither one of us.
No, you didn't go, huh?
Some of them built the university. We was hauling gravel there on the road, mm-hmm. On the Esther Road.
I see. Huh? You know, Vida had the announcement party, the engagement party, for Margaret when she's engaged to Olus Murray. And she kind of jumped the gun because I had been planning to have this party for her. And first thing I know is an invitation out. I thought I was the logical one to do it, you know, and... kind of peeved me for a little while. I wasn't going to go to the party at all. I was just felt, you know, I just shoved to one side now. So Mrs. Gillette talked me into going. But Vida
was quite a girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 1919, when you were out there with the horse and scraper, that you were about 17 years old that year. Mm-hmm. You were just, because you were born in 1902.
Yeah.
So did you... After that, did you go back to high school?
No.
Did you finish high school in Fairbanks?
No, I never went to school, high school at all.
You didn't?
I quit at the 8th grade.
Well, what did you do before you worked for Ed Bartlett? Did you just...
Well, I was up on the ranch with my stepfather there for, I guess, 1 or 2 years. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess just 1 year. Because I know it was in the spring I went down to Fairbanks and went to work for Bartlett.
Mm-hmm. What was your stepfather's first name?
Grant.
Mm-hmm. Grant Courtney.
And
Clara Rusty. Excuse me, I remember, but mm-hmm. I didn't know him, mm-hmm. so.
I was going to say Grant, but that's better him to tell you. It's
no,
a story.
Both of us.
but I just
didn't know.
But I don't remember the mother's name now. What was your mother's name?
Augusta.
Hmm? Augusta, that's right.
They used to call her Gussie. Mm-hmm.
Augusta, mm-hmm. and she was a actor.
She should be in one of the pictures of a pioneer woman, if I remember right. Well, I don't know if it's the one we got at the Pioneer Museum or not. But she was very active in the pioneer women. I remember she made the best donuts. She'd have a meeting and she'd make a big... She'd cook the donuts while we was sitting
Clara
there.
Clara belongs to the Pioneer Women of Alaska, you know, and mm-hmm. that's a pretty exclusive group because you have to... come to the Yukon watershed or Alaska
before December 1908.
Yeah, before 1908. Mm-hmm. So they're a pretty exclusive group these days.
Yeah, there's not many of us left either. Not very many left.
But they read off a list of them at Golden Days. There must have been about 15, weren't there, Clara?
I think most 12. I think about 12.
12, but uh-huh. most of them living outside. Mm-hmm. Minnie Brewis is one, but she's not able to get around now. She's mm-hmm. kind of confined to the hospital. Mm-hmm.
She'd be better off if she was
She was gone because I feel so sorry for her daughters, Gladys and Barbara, come there to see her, and she don't know them, and she fusses and cries, and they have to keep her dope most of the time. She's just like a little animal, you know. She screams and hollers and cries all the time. It's pitiful. I don't know why the good Lord takes so many young people and leaves somebody that would be so much better off, you know, if they were at rest.
Henry Bruce, he's working here on the road here.
Yeah, we met him last night. He came to the roadhouse while he was having supper there up at the Circle. He was up at the Circle for supper last night, he and his wife. His wife had just come in to spend the weekend with him, I guess. Well, he comes in once in a while to see his mother there at the Pioneer Home. I see him every once in a while.
Yeah, and he says himself she'd be better off if she was gone because...
Oh, yes, so much better.
Yeah, she just doesn't... For several years now, she hasn't realized what's
We have two or three on. There that are like that at the home, you know, they just...
But thank goodness they have that pioneer
but
home.
They
you know,
get wonderful care.
Have
they have
wonderful care.
Wonderful care.
Like Charlie Kramer, you know, I think someone was saying the other day, once he's there for a couple of months... And
I see there were news bombers in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His wife's a bad way, too. She's quite bad off. Uh-huh. She's a mental patient now, too.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Gosh, I've seen... her picture of her and news bomber, you know, in the head.
That was a
woman
good,
there, you know.
That's a good picture, wasn't it? That
yeah.
The three of them there, real good, huh?
And she's, she looked young, you know.
She looks good, and she's always dressed so pretty. And
she looks good, but someday she has a hard time remembering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm that way, too.
Me, too. She's not alone that way.
Well, no. Let's get back to you, Wilbur. After your one season mining with Bartlett, did you work for any other miners, or what did you do then?
Oh, no, I had horses of my own for years. I never worked for... That's the last time I ever worked for wages.
Is that right? You had your own horses. Did you freight out of Fairbanks, between Fairbanks and...
Well, no, I worked around Fairbanks, hauled wood, and then I freighted up to Birch Lake some, and... All over the country.
Well, when they were building the university, you said you worked on the road out
yes,
there, too.
Yes, my brother and I, and Walter Van Niersen.
Now, were you doing that for the road commission?
Road commission.
Mm-hmm. You used
we
horses
had a,
and
We had our own teams.
Mm-hmm. Well, what'd you do for, did you buy all the horse feed you needed? Did you buy it from the farmers there, or did you raise some?
Oh, I bought some from the farmers, and then I put up some most every year. I used to plant that place of Mel Sabin's out there where the graveyard is now.
On Birch Hill?
Yeah. That's the first job I ever had in Fairbanks, was picking spuds on that.
Yeah.
Me and Harry Porter and my brother and John O'Neill. We walked clean from town to out there, and we had to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then we'd pick spuds until 5, and he'd give us dinner, and then we'd walk back home for $3 a day.
Just a minute. This Mel Sabin, you know, he had he took care of the horses for the horse stage barn a lot, and he farmed them. They had a great big barn there, and it was right there at the foot, when you go up toward the cemetery, at the right side, that big broad field back in there. And he had
a
big barn
a nice
in there.
Still,
and
still
then over
farm.
The other side, where the old rendezvous was, he had a house over there.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, at the foot of the hill there. And then Zimmerman, he bought the hill for his wife because she wanted to be buried up there. You knew the Zimmermans, did you remember?
Zimmerman. Tony Zimmerman.
Well, you and your brother then worked on, you just had your own teams and you just worked, you never worked for wages again, you said.
Well, my brother did, but I didn't.
Yeah.
That was the last time.
Well, what brought you into the Circle District?
Oh, we was carrying mail that year. Morris and a fellow named Bert Thornson and I was hauling wood in Circle.
Morris O'Leary and Bert Thornson?
Thornson.
Mm-hmm. You were hauling wood into Circle, or?
I did, no. Well, right around town there. Then I freighted from Chattanooga to Circle, too.
Mm-hmm.
Some, and then some over to the North Fork.
North Fork of what, the Chena, or the
huh?
North Fork of?
Birch.
Of Birch Creek.
Yeah.
I see.
Lomas was that guy's name. I can very seldom ever think of it. But, and,
were you freighting to mining outfits?
Yeah, he was drilling.
Mm-hmm. What would they be drilling for that early? What would they be drilling for? Drilling for that early? Were they drilling to find the
quartz
or gold. Prospecting?
Gold.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they drill holes down instead of sinking a shaft. Uh-huh. When they got drills, and they started drilling down. And
yeah, just like the FE company did.
Mm-hmm. That hurried up the prospecting quite a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I worked 3 years for the FE company, too.
That was before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that is in 25, I guess.
Well, then you did work for wages again.
Well, yes, I worked for wages that, yeah, but I had my own team, and
I see.
And that is just the same as working.
You contracted out your team.
No,
and you
but then I just hauled, well, like on the drill, I hauled coal all the time.
Was in 24 and 25?
Well, somewhere in there, yeah.
Well, that must have been when they were prospecting.
It was. They were.
Yeah, because.
They were drilling all the Chattanooga and then Little Elder, and then the next year I worked on Little El Dorado. Uh-huh. And then the next 2 years I worked on the ditch.
Davidson Ditch. Mm-hmm. What sections of the ditch did you work on? This end or?
Well, from Long Creek up and then back towards Chattanooga ways. Mm-hmm. They were digging with steam shovels. Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty wonderful thing, that Davidson Ditch. I tell you, I remember someplace you crossed over it, then sometimes above you, sometimes below you on the road.
Still arguing this pipeline and everything. When the FE got ready to put that pipeline in, they didn't ask no questions. They just put it in.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, it didn't seem to hurt the country too much.
Huh?
Didn't seem to hurt the country too much.
No, it didn't hurt it at all. If it hadn't been for the FE company, well, they'd have been drying fish out of the windows in Fairbanks now.
Yeah.
You're just about right.
Mm-hmm. I tell so many tourists, you know, we're just on the verge of being no Fairbanks, just going downhill, and then all of a sudden something comes to give them a boost and a lift, you know, just like now. We need the pipeline for a boost.
The FE pulled it up again.
That sure did.
And then, of course,
the railroad first, and then the FE company, and airplanes, and just always something. 1909, I don't know if you remember, Wilbur, but in 1909 you couldn't give property away. Fairbanks was just nothing. Well, the bank had gone broke, Barnett had gone off with the money from the Washington Alaska Bank, you remember that, and issuing script. And
They named a school after Barnett there, Fairbanks. You know, some of the old-timers really had
went into
a snit over that, because he wasn't...
Well, they got a street named after him, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't think he was the most honorable character in the country, you know.
No, sure wasn't.
But so what? We have to... They're honorable ones and dishonorable ones, and they
So we have to thank him for Fairbanks anyway, if nothing else.
Well, he was him and Pedro was the starter of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for old Barnett, there might have been no Fairbanks where it is right now. Mm-hmm. Of course, that might have been all right too, you know, if somebody decided to build a community on the hill instead of down there in the floodplain.
Mm-hmm. It'd have been hard telling where it would have been if they'd... Barnett hadn't have been there.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was that controversy over having the town down where the town of Chena was, you know.
Of course, that wouldn't have been no good. There wasn't room enough.
That's it. Uh-huh. Up against the hill.
That is not to the size of Fairbanks now. Yeah. That time it had been plenty big enough. But.
Well, you worked for the FE then, you and your brother both, Walter Jewell, and you both worked... using your teams, your horses, and...
No, he sold his horses and he went carpenter, doing the carpenter, went...
Into carpenter work.
Carpenter business.
Mm-hmm. But you worked for FE maybe 3 seasons with...
Me?
3 years?
Yeah, three.
26, somewhere in there.
27. That must have been 27, 26, and 25.
27, 26, and 25.
But I come over here in 27, and I just got through working on the ditch when I come right over here.
So you came to the circle in 27.
Yeah.
What was in Circle in 1927? What kind of a town was it?
Oh, it was mostly all Indians, and then there was an NC store and a schoolhouse. Then they had to go to work. And of course, them days they had to trap for a living, you know, trapping. There was none of them. They all was trapped, and then in summertime they caught fish and stuff like that.
Fish and berries?
But the first ones, went to work the time I started the sawmill. Mm-hmm. And they started working for me. Well, I guess a few of them worked for Nels Rasmussen, too. But they made their living trapping. They didn't have the BIA to send them $400 or $500 every time they wrote a letter in.
Yeah.
This Nels Anderson was in Circle. What kind of business did he have over there? Was
he was freighting over there. Freighting out of there until he died.
Well, when you came over in 1927, how old was Nels Anderson, approximately?
How old is who?
Excuse me, the name's Rasmussen.
Rasmussen.
Ms. Rasmussen or?
Nels Rasmussen, I was saying.
Oh, he was dead. He died in 1920.
1920, I see.
Yeah.
So by the time you got there, he was gone.
Oh, yes. Well, everything was gone. Oh, Morrison, Bert Thornton bought out Dan Nicholson. He had four horses there. But they were no good. We shot them all. Hmm. And,
What was wrong with the horses? Why? What was wrong with the horses? He had to shoot them. Underfed or too old?
Oh, they were old and stove up. All crippled up.
Gee, the horses were abused in those early days, weren't they, when you think about
them
coming up?
Some of them was, but most of them was pretty well taken care of. Compared to what they do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they don't work them nowadays, but
yeah.
We always had good barns.
Well, people who understood the animals and had used them for their livelihood, you know, like the creamers. Well,
sure, that's all you did for
them. You had to take good care of them.
If you didn't take care of them, well, you didn't get no place, that was all.
Yeah. Well, when this Rasmussen, Nels Rasmussen, had he been in the Circle District for a long, long time? Did he come up
with
that?
Yeah, I have an idea. He must have come there around 1900.
And just settled in the area.
Yeah.
Because there's some Rasmussens. Isn't one of the O'Learys, wasn't Elsie O'Leary? Isn't she a Rasmussen?
Yeah, Ms. O'Leary's a Rasmussen, and my brother's wife was a Rasmussen.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ida Jewell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was a Rasmussen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
right.
Then there's two of them's dead, and then there's one girl outside that's married to Fred Powers.
To Fred who?
Fred Powers.
Oh, Powers. Oh, yes, uh-huh. They had the store up here for
a
while.
Yeah, you run the store there.
Yeah, they're the ones I was talking about. I had the store when we went up there first
I think you run the store up there for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when you went up in 27, you started a sawmill business.
I didn't start the sawmill in 38.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
But you freighted out of, in and out of Circle?
Yeah.
And then from 27 to about 38, you were just freighting.
Well, yes, and then I tried mining three times. Went broke at that, of course.
Where was that? What, in this district?
Over on Harrison Creek and then on Goldust Creek.
Uh-huh. Goldust Creek, was that in this district? Goldust Creek? Is
just
that
where you know where the 101 is down there?
No.
You mean the
101 Roadhouse?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, it comes right in into
Eagle Creek.
It comes into Birch Creek.
Oh,
Birch Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That's another Birch Creek. We're talking about another Birch Creek.
Yeah, that's the same one that you crossed going to Circle.
Yeah.
crooked, winding in and out, I guess it shows up. But when we cross at the one place, don't we?
You cross it twice, really, but where you cross it at 101 there, that's Ptarmigan Creek. Mm-hmm. And Ptarmigan Creek and Birch Creek, or an Eagle Creek, come together like that.
Oh.
And then it's called Birch Creek from there on.
How'd you get into the sawmill business?
Well, the old fellow that had it there at the ferry, he got sick, and I run it that fall for him, and then he died that winter.
You mean the ferry across Birch Creek?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There used to be a big roadhouse there. In fact, there was two big buildings, and then they had a barn there, or they had cattle there for several years. They had around 20, 25 head of cattle. Sell it for beef around in the creeks.
Oh, okay, so. Mm-hmm.
What was the fellow's name you bought it from?
John Bolgin.
Bolgin?
Yeah.
B-A-L-G-I-N?
No, B-O-L-G-E-N.
G-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
How long, had he been in there a long time?
Well, yeah, I guess quite a while.
Did you ever hear that name, Clara?
But it seems to me that name is in one of those pictures where all the pioneers are that have the banners with the name on. Seeming like his name is on one. I'll have to check when
museum.
I go back. I'll go to work tomorrow. I'll see if
I doubt.
You don't think it'd be on there. I'll go check.
I doubt it was him because he was over in this country all the time.
Well, this was a picture over and around the 40 mile or someplace of these old prospectors and pioneers. Harper's in there, and quite a lot of the old fellows from up around
Circle
country.
It's a picture of the Circle, people in the Circle district.
Uh-huh. B-O-L-G-I-N.
B-O-L-G-E-N.
G-E-N.
But I doubt if it was him.
I'll look in his picture and see.
That's
on the wall.
So he had the equipment there already. You didn't bring it in.
Well, it was part of the equipment. He had kind of a haywire outfit. I fixed it up a little. It still ain't much past the haywire outfit, but I can get a straight board out of it once in a while.
So you, since 38, you've been in the sawmill business ever since?
Yes, until I come out here.
Until you came to Central?
Yeah, and then I hauled wood here for 3 or 4 years, and then it got so hard to couldn't hire anybody to cut, and the Indians didn't want to work. They get money from the BIA, so they don't want to work. And,
how about you? Did the BIA ever send you a check?
No, not yet. I'm not black enough.
I never got one from them either.
I didn't either. Raise my six kids. We had to do it all the hard way.
That's the dirtiest trick they ever did to the Indians, is giving them that money.
Yeah, sure.
It's ruined all of them.
All they have is snow goats. They won't dry fish anymore. And
how about the Indians in Circle now? Do any of them plant gardens?
No, they live off of BIA. They don't have to.
They don't put up any fish?
Well, they put up a little fish in the summer, but they sell it to those. And then when they get enough money, why, they buy whiskey, and then by that time, why, the whiskey or the fish reels close down, and then they get it going again to get enough for some more, another drunk, and when they run out of money, why, the BIA sends it to them.
When did you move over to Central?
Central here?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, really, to be honest with you. I believe it's about 12 years ago.
Ten years ago, maybe. But you've made your living over here just in the wood business, hauling wood or something?
Oh, yes, just. Then I worked on the airport for several years. Mm-hmm. Took care of the airport.
Is that the airport here at Central or the airport?
Oh. Central. Mm-hmm. Well, I took care of the one in Circle until I left there.
You maintained it in the wintertime, in the summer? You must have known Frank Leach pretty well then.
Who?
Frank Leach.
Leach?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
a couple nights ago, a friend of Mrs. Leach's brought her down to Central, and we had a little hen party down there. We had a real good visit with her. Mrs. Rust had known her years ago, you know, going over to the Springs, and you know Charlotte Ames.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Charlotte Ames.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte Wiener,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, she worked over at the Springs quite a number of years, and then Ruth Olson, and then Mrs. Dixie Hall was there. They, you know, she and Dixie retired over at the Springs and lived there for about 5 years or so. So Mrs. Leach had a lot of good old friends there to talk with. It was really, I enjoyed it. I think she enjoyed it too.
She stays there all alone, you know. Mm-hmm. And she's, did you get into her house?
No, she won't let anybody in her house.
No.
She lets Charlotte in. That's the only one she lets in.
Yeah, she just sits there and broods all the time. Well, I don't know whether she broods it.
Huh? She reads all the time.
Reads?
Reads.
Yeah.
Yeah, she reads all the time.
Did you ever work for Leach at the Springs there?
No.
Didn't you work for him?
No,
I have a vague memory that you had horses up there one time we were up there. It seemed to me like you were staying there and had a couple horses or your... I remember one of our first trips up there. I think you were at the Hot Springs. I can't remember.
I might have been up there, but...
Maybe so, because I think you had a couple of horses there.
I hauled all that pipe that they got up there.
Oh, well, maybe that was during that time something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would come down the Yukon and from Sea Eagle, and then we hauled it out to the Springs for him.
Yeah, well, that's right, because... It was 1930, she said, when he started that. She thought it was 1930 when he started the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't really say now. I knew it was either 29 or 30, somewhere in there. I think we hauled it out on 29.
Mm-hmm. But before he had that hotel, before he started the hotel, he had quite a few cabins there, didn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I went down and soaked in that nice warm water last night. Mm-hmm. Oh, that feels good.
I got in the first night and I couldn't get out. Thought they needed some rails for us old people to get in those pools, you know, because you get in there and it's kind of slippery. And boy, I was scared and I wouldn't go in again. And I just loved it. I went over there for the purpose to soak in the pool, but they need some railings to help us old people. It's supposed to be a spring for old people's health, but old people
it
can't get in.
It wasn't made for old people. It's made for young people.
Yeah, I guess so. But
yeah.
Then. They say it's a resort for people with rheumatics and everything, and there used to be a lot of people go there and spend the winter, you know, for those baths, but how they got in out of
the
pool,
well, they used to.
Of
course, nowadays they don't spend any more time.
But it really was wonderful. I'd like to spend a week or soak in the pool, but there'd be no way to get in out of the thing. I wanted to swim, and there's no way to get in the swimming pool.
Well, when you get back to Fairbanks, you can tell those fellows, you know, the guys who own it now, tell them about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a constructive criticism, because...
sure it is.
Well, not a criticism so much, but maybe it is.
Which was kind of tragic and
but
funny in a way, but that scared me. I couldn't...
Yeah, because Clara has... pretty hard time getting up and down with her knees with her arthritis, and it's you know, if you could go over there for a week and, or 2 weeks and go in the pool a couple times a day and soak, boy, that'd
be real good for you.
I think you'd be pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think it helps too much though for rheumatism.
No, you tried it, have you?
I used to, when I first 2 years I was here in the camp, I used to haul fellas out in the come down from Dawson, they'd be all stove up with rheumatism, and one guy we had to pack in and out to the roadhouse. He stayed there, come down June, and he went up on the last boat in the fall, that was the 15th of September, and he could just barely hobble, but it really didn't help him much.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to hold his arms, you know, so he could walk.
Mm.
And there was three or four of them I brought down that time. And I think the Chena Hot Springs is way the best.
I have heard that too.
If I get time, I got lots of time. I shouldn't have said that. I mean, if I get over there this winter, I think I might go over up to Chena Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
It's Pat Mahoney, we packed him and out one time going up to Chena Hot Springs, and he was up there 6 weeks, and he come back and he walked all the way down. He was 65 years old. just as limber as a rag.
That helped him then.
Oh, yes. It's, Tony Hempel, the same way, we had to pack him in and out. Just left him, and I saw him the other last April when I was in town. And he said it never bothered him since.
Is that right?
That's something, huh?
Yeah.
I got rheumatism awful bad in my knees.
Some story you recommend you should tell that you got the
chief.
Well,
you called a lot of that piping, you say, for the circle, when they were building Circle Hotel. But you didn't work over there when they were actually constructing.
No, I just hauled it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One other point of Wilbur's early years in Circle. I think it was 28, 20, and 29. He hauled, carried the mail. You might, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to try to get back to that. You know, I mentioned that picture we saw, but how long did you carry the mail?
Oh, I really only carried mail just trip off and on. Sometimes when one of the boys wanted to stay in Circle, well, I'd make a trip in their place, that's all.
And so the trip
Circle
was from
to
Circle
Chattanooga.
To Chattanooga?
But I don't think I made over 4 or 5 trips.
Did you always travel alone, or would two of you go together when you made these mail trips?